This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down for the next 3 hours as we've got ourselves a tremendous show coming up. We've got a lot that's happening in the NBA. Finals wrapped up about 48 or so hours ago, but the time of year for the NBA offseason, it is here, it is now, and the NBA offseason is typically one of the most entertaining, and it has not failed to live up to that as of right now. So we're going to be taking a look at a few moves. Kyrie Irving, he decides that he is going to ink a new contract with the Dallas Mavericks to stay around there. I know that they freed up a little bit of money to perhaps be able to extend a mid-level exception to someone, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Kristaps Porzingis is on the move, and so is the Boston Celtics future odds, so we're going to be chatting about that. We've got ourselves all 30 teams in Major League Baseball in action on Wednesday, and we got a few games to wrap up on Tuesday as well, and we've got a pair of great guests. Coming up in 15 minutes, Nick Whalen. He does tremendous work here at the network. You're able to catch him on so many different fronts. He is going to be joining me, and we're going to be talking about the NBA draft. We're going to be talking about what we've all gotten here in the offseason in general, and recap a little bit of what we saw with the OKC Thunder being able to win the finals as well, as Nick, he does great work with the props points. Your points prop show. So he's going to be joining me in about 15 minutes and then a little bit over an hour from now. Michaela Bennett, she does a tremendous job over at Underdog Fantasy. We're going to be looking at some MLB player props with her. We're going to be chatting about the slate that we've got on Wednesday and so much more. And we got to talk some football offseason as well. You're going to get starting tomorrow me breaking down a lot of NFL teams individually. I'm a man from the great state of Wisconsin, so I want to give you guys a little bit of an appetizer. And we're going to be taking a look at the NFC North. There's a team out there in the North that I'm very, very bullish on. I revealed I'm a man from the greatest state of Wisconsin. Sometimes I feel bullish about the Packers. Sometimes I feel bearish about the Packers. You'll need to tune in about 2 hours from now to be able to catch that. But right now, what we are catching is just a wackadoo night in Major League Baseball. And we're certainly going to be talking about everything that we've seen here in the NBA in a few minutes as well when Nick Whalen joins me, because I mean, that Kristaps Porzingis trade to the Atlanta Hawks, I think, is oh so interesting. But I mean, if you're just taking a look at Major League Baseball and you've been betting on any of these games, man, we have seen roller coaster rides. We've seen quite a few overwhelming games, like we saw in the Orioles versus the Texas Rangers game. This game went to 10 innings. The Rangers had a no-hitter going into the seventh inning. They blow the lead, and then they come all the way back to get the job done by a count of 6-5. This for a Rangers team then. Prior to tonight, two-thirds of their games had gone under the total. Prior to Tuesday, 26 overs, 52 unders, and a push. And that's been one of the biggest things that I've been taking a look at in Major League Baseball this season. You just take a look at these demonstrative, just underwhelming teams, and they've been some of your most profitable in the league. The Kansas City Royals has been one of those. They've played darn near 60% of their games to the under. Guess what? They didn't score again against the Tampa Bay Rays. Well, they scored one run, but that's not going to get it done for an over. 5-1. The Tampa Bay Rays, they get that win. By the way, for the Royals, how about 2.9 runs per game at home this year? You remember when we were having a lot of people saying, oh, they might be cheating at home or something like that? Well, if they're cheating at home, they're doing a really, really bad job. And whatever they're doing, they should probably abandon that right away. So that's been interesting. And then the bad just keeps on getting worse for the Minnesota Twins. Now losers of 10 out of their last 11 games. The Seattle Mariners, they do get the job done by a count of 6-5. And the big note in this game was for the Seattle Mariners. Cal Raleigh did not go yard. He had gotten yard, I believe, in four straight games. But I mean, it's still such an interesting circumstance with this man and what he's been able to do thus far this season. As for Cal Raleigh, he entered in the night on pace for 66 home runs. And I think that this needs to be a discussion. Like, we all thought that it was a foregone conclusion that Aaron Judge was going to be able to win MVP. And if you look at the futures board right now, he's still a demonstrative favorite. And I'm not saying that Cal Raleigh is going to continue on a 66 home run pace, but let's say that he actually does hit 66 home runs. Can we actually deny him this award of the MVP? Like, that would be an American League record. That would be the biggest output that we've seen since Barry Bonds and company in the very early 2000s. I mean, it has been absolutely remarkable what we've been seeing there. A lot of places, they do have some of these more individual futures props off the board. But last I was seeing, you were seeing Aaron Judge more around about the minus 2,000 mark. You always want to be shopping around accordingly with regards to these markets, because the volatility that you're going to be finding in terms of like a player award, what have you, it is much, much greater than what you're going to be seeing on a game spread. Like right now, I pulled up one book where Aaron Judge is minus 1,300 and Cal Raleigh is plus 550. I've seen Cal Raleigh much more than plus 550 in other spots, but I do think that's a very interesting discussion to be at here, right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Something else that is an interesting discussion, the discussion of football. We are going to be certainly touching upon that with some NFC North futures. And I tell you right now, in the NFL betting guide that is going to be coming out next week, you're getting my full projections in terms of the NFL playoffs. I'm projecting all seven teams in both the AFC and the NFC. I wrote up a few futures as well. I'm not too much of a futures guy, but we've got many folks here at the network that do a few more than myself. You get all those in the NFL betting guide as well. That's dropping next week. And when you get early access by signing up on our NFL football special right now, that means that you've got a better shot at spotting all the value in the futures market and getting set for what is going to be a tremendous NFL season. Now's the perfect time to sign up for that football special, because this gives you access to everything that we do all the way through the Super Bowl for a low price of $175. That's every sport that we cover every single day. That takes you through a bunch of the college basketball season, by the way, as well. So it extends out very, very far. And the sooner that you sign up, the more that you get out of it. You're going to be first in line for that tremendous betting guide. Plus, you get a daily best bet email from all of our VSiN shows and guests with their picks, real betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, full access to all of our analytics tools and pro systems over at VSiN.com. And when you go to VSiN.com/subscribe, you get that football special for $175. As it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Peterson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And again, I do think that this discussion of MVP is very interesting, because with Aaron Judge, I do think that he should still be the favorite right now. Recognize that he's a few home runs behind Cal Raleigh, but for the New York Yankees, once again, a less than savory performance against the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds, they do get the job done by a count of 5-4 over the course of 11 innings. And I think that it is an interesting chat, because if you're looking at the player that has been most valuable for their team right now, the player that has been able to ascend them the most between Cal Raleigh and Aaron Judge, it's Aaron Judge, because even though he's got a couple fewer home runs, the way that he's been able to play out there in the field, and he's been playing a nice outfield spot, by the way, that's a little bit more, but I do think that you have to give a little bit of credence to the fact that Cal Raleigh has been able to hit as many home runs at the catcher spot as well. And if this continues, I do think that that's very massive, because when you're a catcher, you have so many different responsibilities and duties that you have to do night in and night out. And I don't think that a lot of people realize just how difficult it is to be able to be a consistent hitter and to be able to hit bombs at the catcher spot. This was posted up by a guy by the name of Paul Hemikitis. He's over there at ESPN. He does a solid job there. And he posted this up. Most home runs in a game where a player was catching this year, Cal Raleigh entered in this night with 29 home runs. He had three of these 32 home runs as a designated hitter. Next closest player, 15 home runs, and the single season record for most home runs hit by a player that is actually playing the catcher spot. So they're not DHing, they're not pinch hitting, what have you. They're actually playing the catcher spot on that night. 42. We are less than halfway through the season. Cal Raleigh is right now on pace for 61. Like, if he hits 61 home runs in games where he is catching, can you deny the man the award? I don't think so. Like, I would have to give it to Cal Raleigh right there, because I think that it's so supremely important what a catcher does in terms of his team's success. And we've seen it with the Seattle Mariners. When this team is rocking and rolling with their starters, like George Kirby is coming off the injured list, he's looked a little bit better recently. You're going to be getting Bryce Miller back relatively soon as well. Logan Gilbert is rock solid as well. So I do think that that is something that needs to be put into account here. So I do think that if you're looking for a little bit of a long shot right now, terms of odds to be able to win MVP. Now, if Cal Raleigh fades into the abyss in the second half of the season, this is a non-starter, because if Cal Raleigh, even it's like 52 home runs, Aaron Judge is at 47 home runs, Aaron Judge is getting the award. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I think that that magic number is 8. If Cal Raleigh has 8 more home runs than Aaron Judge at the end of the year, you really need to put it into the discussion. I think that a little bit of it has to do with team success as well. Now, we've seen MVPs be on teams that haven't made the postseason. Looking at you, Mike Trout, looking at you as well, Shohei Ohtani back when he was with the LA Angels, but I think that this is just such an interesting spot here. If you're looking for a bit of value, I certainly do think that Cal Raleigh is able to supply it, as we did see the Seattle Mariners once again on this Tuesday get the job done by a count of 6-5. So I do think that there's a bit of value there. And there's been a little bit of value on this team recently as well. The team that the Seattle Mariners are trying to track down in the American League West, the Houston Astros, they got the job done 1-0 against the Philadelphia Phillies here on this Tuesday. And for the Astros, this has been a very good team in terms of their bullpen pitching. Framber Valdez was able to go out there, throw a gem, and have to feel for Ranger Suarez, by the way. When you lose a game where you go 7 2/3 innings, you give up a solo home run to Cooper Hummel, and you give up absolutely nothing else, that's just rough to say the least. So, I mean, I'm going to give him a little bit of the credit that he deserves. He pitched much better than the result that he got in terms of loss. But, man, it is interesting to see what we're getting out there in the American League in general. American League where entering in the night on Tuesday, all but three teams were within 3.5 games of a playoff spot. So if you're looking at some of these teams that you think might be buyers at the trade deadline, you think that there's plus money in terms of their odds being able to make the playoffs, whether that be the Boston Red Sox, whether that be the Kansas City Royals, now might be the time to be able to dive in, because it's very, very much open circuit there. And if you're looking at the Boston Red Sox, by the way, 1-0. They're currently up on the LA Angels. They're going into the bottom of the sixth inning. Garrett Crochet, he has been crocheting a nice start, 9 punch-outs thus far. So we'll keep you guys abreast of that all throughout the night. But something that also we have to talk about, we are seeing hoopla in the NBA right now. Kyrie Irving restructures with the Dallas Mavericks. You do see as well the trade of Kristaps Porzingis. We saw Kevin Durant get moved a few days ago. We have to talk to Nick Whalen, who does great work at the network, about that next right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, and it is great to be joined by this man as we've got aboard Nick Whalen. He does great work with the show Prop Points here at the network. He does a great job over at RotoWire. Is an encyclopedia when it comes to taking a look at the great game of basketball. And Nick, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Anytime, man. Anytime. I don't think I've ever been described as an encyclopedia before, but I like that. I like that. I think I'll have to put that in my back pocket, but glad to be here as always, man. And let's talk some hoops.
Absolutely. You, much like myself, come from the great state of Wisconsin, as they always like to call it, the Harvard State of the Midwest, if I do say so myself. Mm-hmm. I might be the first person that has ever said it, but you know what? We were going to roll with it. And what else we're rolling with is the fact that we've got no shortage of things that have happened in the offseason right in the NBA, and they just awarded a title on Sunday, so that makes things very intriguing. But the team of intrigue right now is the Boston Celtics. They moved down to a lot of places, 20-1, even a little bit further in terms of odds to be able to win the title for this upcoming season, with the fact that over the last 24 hours, they've made two moves. They trade away Jrue Holiday to the Portland Trailblazers, and then here today, they move Kristaps Porzingis to the Atlanta Hawks. How do you take a look at this Boston Celtics team, as they're clearly getting a little bit younger, but they're clearly looking to be able to free up some cap room as well?
Yeah, that's the primary thing, right? And, you know, the messaging really throughout the postseason, even before the Jason Tatum injury, was that, look, no matter what, whether they win the title, whether things turned out like they did, which was essentially the worst case scenario, not only do you come up short, but your best player ends up tearing his Achilles. But the messaging out of Boston was that this team is not going to carry, you know, the most expensive payroll in the NBA into another season. They're not going to let the tax bill essentially multiply like it does when you're in the repeater tax. And very quickly, even before the NBA draft, Boston has now completely accomplished that with these two moves. You know, you send out Porzingis, you send out Jrue Holiday, and, you know, in terms of their cap sheet for next year, doesn't look all that different, right? Getting off a Porzingis contract and expiring, that looks a little bit better than the Holiday deal in terms of the short term, but it gets the Boston Celtics under the second apron. It essentially saves them north of $100 million in the tax bill. And they were able to do that without parting ways with Derek White, without parting ways with Jaylen Brown. Now, more moves could be coming. I personally would be surprised if the Celtics do tear this thing down to the studs. I don't think they will trade Jaylen Brown unless, you know, the offer of all offers comes in. You know, Derek White, maybe that's a little bit more palatable, but I think what the Celtics are going to do is essentially use next season as somewhat of an audition for a guy like Anthony Simons, who I think actually kind of fits with the Boston Celtics ideal. You know, he's not the defender, certainly, that Drew Holiday is, but there are a lot of really good defenders on this team. You essentially have Simons on a one-year rental, and the type of player that he is offensively, Greg, I think makes a lot of sense. He loves shooting the three. He's an efficient three-point shooter. He's never really been in a situation like this where he's in a competitive environment with guys who've won a title before, with an organization that knows what it's doing to this degree. I mean, the Celtics are one of the best run organizations in the NBA. So I really liked that deal for Boston. The second deal today, Porzingis, that was just a pure salary dump. The Atlanta part of that one, though, is really interesting to me, because I think the Hawks are now another team, Greg, that looks at what's going on around the Eastern Conference and says, okay, Boston's taking a step back. Indiana will likely be taking a step back with no Tyrese Halliburton. Damian Lillard probably going to miss most, if not all, of next season in Milwaukee. And I think Atlanta's like, hey, why not us, right? They're doing the same thing that the Orlando Magic are doing. And look, the way Kristaps Porzingis closed the season, he was battling that illness on and off. Who knows what version you're going to get of him next season. But again, he's on an expiring contract. There's no obligation here from the Atlanta Hawks. And as part of this deal, they were able to get off of a bad contract of their own in Terrence Mann. They did have to give up the number 22 pick, but to me, that's worth it. I mean, you have a top six now of Trae Young, Dyson Daniels, Zach Risacher, Jalen Johnson, Onyeka Okongwu, and Kristaps Porzingis. I don't know if that's a title team. It's probably not a title team. Maybe another move is coming for Atlanta, but I think you at least feel pretty good about trying to dodge the play-in tournament, which is something they were not able to do this past year.
Yep, and you also have a little bit of depth with Caris LeVert if they're able to keep him around as well. So I do like what the Atlanta Hawks are doing, and I think that you bring up something very interesting with what you were talking about with Atlanta, and we saw this with the Tyrese Halliburton injury that was oh so unfortunate that happened on Sunday, but it does feel like the East is very wide open. The top two teams in terms of the odds board, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the New York Knicks, and personally I would default to the Cavaliers a little bit more than anything else, but it just does feel like it's sort of what we saw many years ago when it was just sort of that one team where it's just like, all right, what are we going to be able to get out East, because we know that the West is just so brutal, and it almost feels like we're back to that divide where the West has all these great teams and out East it's just like, who wants to be able to take on the mantle of taking on that big West team that they're going to be an underdog to in the finals?
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, to varying degrees, it feels like this has been the case for, 15 years now, Greg? I mean, guys like you and I, mean, our entire basketball lives, basically, the Western Conference has been the better conference and certainly the deeper conference. And it's shaping up to be that once again. And, you know, that's kind of where I question what Portland's doing, bringing in Drew Holiday. You know, I get it from a veteran leader perspective. You know, it's a team that has been near the bottom of the standings over these last couple of years. Felt like they did turn a corner after the All-Star break, or one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. But you're paying a big premium here. You know, Drew Holiday is not on an expiring contract. He's under contract for two more years, plus a really expensive player option three seasons from now. And, you know, to me, Drew Holiday is the type of guy that you bring in either if you're the Brooklyn Nets and you're just like, hey, we're the dumping ground for salary, or he's kind of the final piece, right? He's the piece that you bring in to push you over the top, much like the Celtics did a couple of years ago. So, you know, I'm never going to fault a team for bringing in a personality like Drew Holiday, but I don't look at Portland relative to the rest of the Western Conference, and think, okay, all of a sudden, you know, this team is going to be in the mix. You know, Portland to me is still probably a play-in team at best. So I was questioning that one a little bit, but you're totally right about the Eastern Conference. Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Cavaliers are probably the incumbent right now. They were the best team in the regular season a year ago. The Knicks will have their say. Interesting to me that the Boston Celtics moved from 12-1 down to +550 all of a sudden to win the Eastern Conference. That's after shedding Holiday and after shedding Porzingis. They now have some flexibility to make some moves, more in the win now type of mindset if they so choose. And I do think some of the logic there is, okay, Jason Tatum, yeah, he's going to miss the regular season, but you know, what if the Celtics find a way to keep themselves above water? You know, maybe they're the four seed and, you know, Tatum could come back at some point in the postseason. So I think the dominant logic is to just cross off the Boston Celtics, throw them out for next season. There's still a decent amount of talent on this roster.
Yep, there certainly is. As Nick Whalen, who does great work here at the network, along with RotoWire, joining me on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And We also saw this move that happened on Tuesday. It's a pool party out there in New Orleans. Jordan Poole and Sadiq Bey. Very interesting. You got Poole and Bey that both get moved on over to New Orleans. So they're sticking with the theme of water and a second round pick. They go over there. The Wizards get CJ McCollum and Kelly Olynyk along with a future second round pick as well. For one, how do you take a look at this for a Pelicans team where it just hasn't developed for them? And two, do we know what the Washington Wizards are doing and what they're building towards?
I think that has been a decade long question. You know, what are the Washington Wizards up to over there in DC? I think this is a pure salary dump from Washington's perspective. I think the Wizards have had some self-awareness. You know, I think there's been some come to Jesus moments for Washington over these last few years, and really starting with the Bradley Beal trade. You know, I think they drew a line in the sand and said, look, we're accepting our fate. You know, they brought in Chris Middleton at the deadline. That was another, you know, semi-salary dump from Milwaukee. And look, I think they're doing the same with both McCollum and Olynyk. These are expiring contracts. You know, McCollum, really good player. You know, they now have McCollum, Smart, and Middleton all on this roster. It's like, if the Wizards wanted to be, I don't know, the 8 or the 9 seed in the Eastern Conference and play those guys, you know, 75 games, maybe they could get there. But to me, this is about the future. This is about next summer. It's about the summer after, when those books really open up. And, you know, as of right now, you know, Washington projects to have north of $100 million in cap space. So it's the promise, of course, of, you know, or we're going to spend that on someone. We've seen teams do this in the past, you know, especially teams that are not in appealing destinations. And sometimes that money is not spent in the ways that you're hoping it would be spent. But from Washington's perspective, that's the logic. You know, you're accepting another year of rebuilding, and then you hope that you could find ways to spend that money wisely next summer. New Orleans, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what's going on. You got DeJounte Murray, who tore his Achilles, you know, midway through the season. He's going to miss at least half of next year. I believe that injury occurred in late January. I mean, their entire roster essentially was banged up by the end of the year. You have some interesting pieces. You know, really like Trey Murphy. Obviously, there's always going to be intrigue with Zion Williamson, Herb Jones, Yves Missy, the rookie this past year showed some promise. But you get younger with Jordan Poole. You get younger with Sadiq Bey, who's coming off a serious injury in his own right. But this just feels like an organization that doesn't really know what the direction is right now. And you're just kind of shuffling around and you know, trying different things. Even when DeJounte Murray comes back, I don't really love that fit alongside Jordan Poole. But New Orleans is trying to do something. I don't know exactly what that is. I don't view this as a contending team by any means in an ultra deep Western Conference next year. This move really doesn't move the needle for me.
Yeah, it's very interesting to take a look at this Pelicans team, because Zion Williamson, ever since they drafted him, that's been a mess. They bring in now Jordan Poole, which you have some nice pieces with, like Trey Murphy and company, but I don't know what it is. So I'm right there with you, as Nick Whalen. He does great work here at the network. He does great work over at RotoWire as well. He's a just absolutely tremendous NBA mind. And coming up next, how about if we take a look at the NBA draft that's coming up less than 24 hours from now, right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line, as we've got Nick Whalen aboard. He does great work with the Props Point Show. He additionally does such great work over here at RotoWire, joining me on the Progressive Guest Line. And we were talking in the last segment about what we're all getting in terms of free agency and these trades. Now let's take a look at the NBA draft. And well, if you have someone that's not named Cooper Flagg going number one, I don't know what to tell you there. But the rest of the draft, I think, is very intriguing after those top two picks. And just how do you take a look at things towards, like, I would say 5 through 10? Because we're seeing some matches of shakeups, and it does feel as though Jeremiah Fierce is rising up this draft board.
It certainly does. It certainly does, Greg. And, you know, I think that portion of the draft is really, really interesting. Really starting at 3 with the 76ers, who are kind of the fish out of the water, I suppose, if you look at the top of the draft. I mean, really the first three picks, right? I mean, obviously Dallas almost made the playoffs. They move up 10 spots. San Antonio jumped up. But, you know, I think Philly, of those teams, is the one coming into the year. If you said, hey, the Sixers are going to be picking in the top three, you would say, I would not expect that. They must have had a disaster season. And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, I think the Sixers are one of these teams, like we were talking about in the previous segment, where there are still a lot of really good pieces in place. And if And it's a massive, massive if Joel Embiid can stay healthy for, you know, more than 35 games in a season. This is one of those teams that could pounce on the opportunity in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, I'll be fascinated to see, do the Sixers entertain some trade ups from other teams? You know, certainly the Charlotte Hornets, you know, they could kind of dangle something to, you know, create some leverage there, maybe move down from 3 to 4, move even further down into the lottery. It does feel to me like Ace Bailey holds a lot of the keys here. And obviously, if you've been following this at all over the last couple of weeks, one of the more bizarre pre-draft processes that we've seen from any top prospect over the last couple of decades. He is yet to work out for any team. Doesn't sound like that's going to happen prior to tomorrow night. And, you know, I think that's put some teams off. Certainly we're seeing his draft stock overall fall, but we're not going to see him fall out of the lottery. I don't think we're going to see him fall out of the top 6 or 7. And I think, you know, if we get to pick 3, pick 4, pick 5, Ace Bailey's still on the board, you know, at that point there could end up being a bidding war where teams are trying to trade up for a guy who a month ago was considered a lock to go either 3rd or 4th in this draft. But, you know, you're right about Jeremiah Fears. He's certainly somebody that we're starting to hear buzz on, specifically to go number 5 to the Utah Jazz. And you can get that right now at the DraftKings Sportsbook at +190 just to be the 5th pick, even if Utah ends up trading out. But it does feel to me, Greg, like if Jeremiah Fears goes in the top 5, Utah is the spot that he's been linked to most often.
And I think that this is interesting as well, because you were just talking about Ace Bailey, and this is a little bit of a diatribe and an interesting question. Have we ever seen something so strange where we've got two guys that were on the same team? They both were projected to go in the top 5. Maybe there's a chance that Bailey falls out of that top 5, but he's certainly not falling any further than, I would say, 8 or 9. Have we ever seen two guys get drafted this highly that was on a team that went below 500 in the Big Ten? And quite frankly, it didn't result in any on-court success whatsoever, because I feel like it's so strange. And if I were a team, that would maybe be a little bit off-putting to me.
Yeah, a little bit, right? I think we kind of knew what we were signing up for when Bailey and Dylan Harper, you know, committed to Rutgers of all schools, right? I think it's more of a sign of the kind of changing recruiting environment more so than anything else. And yeah, it was disappointing, you know, given the talent of those two players that, you know, that Rutgers had the season that it did. But I don't think it was shocking necessarily. I don't think anybody was circling that team as a potential, you know, Sweet 16 national title type of contender. But it's really unique. It's really, really unique. And, you know, this whole process has been unique for Ace Bailey. You know, he has an agent who is not actually a certified agent. He's the only client for this agent. His agent is the father of Sharif Cooper, who you probably remember, Greg, from his days at Auburn. Had a brief stint with the Atlanta Hawks. I don't know really how this all came to be, but it's turned into a really fascinating situation. And like you said, it feels like it's a given that Cooper Flagg is going to go number 1. That would be the shock of all shocks if that doesn't happen. Dylan Harper feels locked in to the San Antonio Spurs at number 2. I think a big part of the reason that the Spurs essentially backed their way out of the Durant sweepstakes is because they feel so good about Harper at 2. But Ace Bailey, I think, is going to define at least the first hour or so of this draft. And like you said, I don't think he's going to end up falling maybe as far as all these kind of bizarre hijinks would imply. But what team is willing to take a chance on him? You know, are teams going to trade up? Because I still think he's the guy, even with everything that's gone on. If you're a team like the Brooklyn Nets, you know, picking at number 8, you have 5 picks in the first round, you have 6 of the top 36 picks, you are searching for a star, right? You feel like you can maybe acquire that player in the future in free agency. Maybe you can package some of those future picks, do it via trade. But ideally, you'd like to get that player on a rookie contract. And, you know, Brooklyn is the one team that you look at with all of those picks and say, man, if Ace Bailey does fall far enough, would the Nets be willing to package some of those picks? And maybe the bigger question is, you know, would a team like Utah or Washington be willing to move out of that draft slot?
Yep, and I think that they are such an interesting team, to your point, because do you decide, hey, we've got 4 first-round picks, let's package up a few of them, let's go up and get someone that could be a difference maker right away and finally get out of what has been seemingly a really big funk for them, dating all the way back to when they brought in Paul Pierce and company. As joining me on the show, we do have Nick Whalen right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And time is running out. You want to enter in to Circus Survivor or Millions with the Context Policy with the contest proxy included with $21 million guaranteed and up for grabs. You want to jump in on this promotion. Deadline is to enter a great giveaway that is being done by Winner's Circle Proxy. That is tomorrow, Wednesday, June 25th at 9:59 p.m. Eastern Time. Winners are going to be announced live on Friday on a numbers game with Gil Alexander, and they're going to get exclusive strategy to Gil all season long. You want to go to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN to enter now to be able to get a chance to be able to get a Circuit Survivor or a Circuit Millions contest entry with free proxy service right now over at winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. And how about if we dive in on what is going to be a really interesting draft? Because I feel like we know what's going to be happening with the first two picks. You said it with the Brooklyn Nets. It becomes very interesting with them. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Bailey as well. But is there maybe a guy that is on the fringe of the first round, that is on the fringe of a top 10, that you take a look at that could be a guy that perhaps presents a little bit of plus money if they do go a little bit higher than expected?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I have a couple that I'm looking at right now. One of these is at minus money, but I do like Ryan Kalkbrenner, big man out of Creighton, to be a first rounder. It's down to minus 145 now. You would have got better value on that a few weeks ago, but that's one of my plays. I do think he's going to sneak his way into the back end of the first round. You know, that's the territory where you're not necessarily hunting for a superstar. You're not necessarily looking for maximum upside. You know, these tend to be good teams that want to find, you know, guys who could contribute in year one. And there are a lot of center needy teams around the NBA right now. So I do think we see Ryan Kalkbrenner go in round one. You know, as far as closer to the lottery goes, you know, I'm looking at Colin Murray-Boyles out of South Carolina, a guy who's really picked up some steam over the last couple of weeks. You can get his draft position prop at 13.5. I like the under on that. Really unique player, you know, a guy who measured in at just 6'6.5 without shoes, but plays bigger than his size, you know, capable of playing up at center, capable of playing power forward, really could slide between both forward spots, get a long wingspan, close to 7'1". And look at the statistical profile for him last season at South Carolina: 17 points, 8 boards, 2.5 assists, 1.5 steals, 1.3 blocks. You know, one of the rare players who kind of does everything. Shot 59% from the field. Now, he does not shoot threes, but, you know, everything you hear about this guy, it's more about the feel for the game. I don't know if the three-point shot will ever develop. You know, there's a handful of prospects every year where we go, man, if he could start shooting the three, you know, this guy could be a top five pick. More often than not, that doesn't end up happening, but he's the type of guy that should be a monster defender at the NBA level right away. The type of guy that NBA teams covet, especially in light of what we've seen with OKC, right? It's a copycat league. And I think you see how OKC built this roster. They struggled offensively for basically half of the playoffs and still ended up cruising their way to a title because of their defense. And I think we're going to see more teams try to copy that blueprint. So I could see him going as high as 9 to Toronto, you know, Portland, Chicago, Atlanta, those teams in the 10 to 12 range. I think they could all be interested. And, you know, I think this is one of those guys that you could see as a, you know, kind of a win now piece for a team that feels like it's closer to contending. Minnesota, Memphis, you know, even OKC, they have 15 and 24. They could package those picks and try to move up for him. So Colin Murray-Boyles from South Carolina under 13.5 for that draft position.
I think that's a really good look by you. And I really like Colin Murray-Boyles as well. That's one that I was talking about yesterday, and got about a minute left. Is there maybe someone outside the top five that you think could be an instant impact guy and could be a little bit more, shall we say, impactful than a lot of people are thinking?
Yeah, you know, you hear about Kamen Malawach from Duke, and I don't think he's going to go in the top five. Very likely that we see him come off the board, you know, maybe in the latter half of the top 10, somewhere in that 7 to 10 range. And, you know, he hasn't even turned 19 yet, right? And, you know, we certainly saw the flashes of what he could be at his peak. He dealt with some foul trouble during the NCAA tournament, but the size, the skill, the athleticism, I think is really, really intriguing. And yeah, you know, I think if he were to land with a team like, say, the Toronto Raptors at number 9, we never talk about Toronto, but this is a team that acquired Brandon Ingram. You know, he was injured midseason. Toronto kind of backed their way out of the postseason race. But I don't think we can count out Toronto trying to make some noise next season. And Malawach, I think, would be a nice future piece for them at center.
I think that's a great look by you, Nick. And Nick, it's always great to be able to get you aboard. Thank you so much.
Anytime, man.
Always good to be able to have Nick Whalen aboard. Does great work here at the network. And coming up next, let's dive in on some baseball for Wednesday and tonight right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be joined by Nick Whalen in the last two segments. He does a great job with the Prop Points show. He does great work here at the network along with RotoWire. And every single time he joins me, he lends such great insight. So big thanks to Nick for joining me for a pair of segments looking at all that we're getting here in the NBA offseason and what we're going to be getting in the NBA draft that is going to be coming up tomorrow. Very quick turnaround. You have the finals game number 7 go down on Sunday and you have the draft going down on Wednesday. So no rest for the weary there, but as said, we do have ourselves a ton of baseball that is going down, as well as we got a few games that are still happening on this Tuesday as well. Some of the games that you might be sweating out, and we have seen a low scoring slog out there in Los Angeles right now for the Red Sox. They are tied up 1-1. Garrett Crochet, a pretty rock solid start, and Tyler Anderson, who had really been struggling going into this night, he actually has lent a pretty good start as well. He went 4 2/3 innings. He did get taken out a little bit early, but bullpen from there has held down the fort on Garrett Crochet. 10 punchouts, 7 scoreless innings. Bullpen from here has led up a home run to Mr. Moore, who was able to give you Moore's second home run of the campaign. So if you took a Christian Moore Dinger Tuesday stab, congratulations to you. I'm not sure who did, but I'm sure that there's someone out there that did. So congratulations to you. We're also gauging the San Francisco Giants and the Miami Marlins. And for the Marlins, currently up by a count of 4-2, this game is in the bottom of the 7th inning. And I do think that this is always something that you want to look at for the San Francisco Giants, being able to get them down in games. And right now they're about plus $3 on the money line. Not necessarily the world's worst look. You're banking on them being able to hold down the Marlins for the rest of the game. And this bullpen is currently number 1 in the big leagues in terms of ERA. And this is a Miami Marlins bullpen that has been not good. Very, very much not good. And as I say that, I believe that Patrick Bailey just grounded out to the pitcher. So maybe that was a little bit of a bad time to bring that up. But certainly I do think that with the Giants, they can provide you a little bit of value in terms of these live betting spots. And we'll see if they're going to be able to do so here against the Fish. Currently, that is 4-2. And the Padres are currently up 4-3 over the Washington Nationals. You're able to get their run line, laying a run half currently at a plus 260. Now, they are in the top of the 8th inning, so they are going to need to score or something in the bottom of the 8th and or go to extra innings to get the job done that way. But with this Washington Nationals bullpen, north of a 5-6 ERA, dead last in the National League, these have always been good looks throughout the season. Being able to fade these bad bullpens, looking at you, the A's, looking at you, the Nationals, looking at you, the Miami Marlins, they can prove to be very, very fruitful. And there was a time where the Atlanta Braves were on their rough funk as well. We all recall the 6-run bullpen lead that they had a few nights ago, or a few weeks ago, in that Thursday game against the Arizona Diamondbacks. So certainly being able to gauge that, I think, is very good. But something else that we do have to gauge is we have to start gauging this Wednesday card as well, because thank goodness gracious, for those that know me, you know that I absolutely love day baseball. We have been without it these last few days, so it's made things very, very hard. It is back in our lives on Wednesday, and hopefully you're able to catch this day game, because it's one of the better young, shall we say, pitching duos that you're going to find in all of baseball. You've got two guys that have really been able to rise fast, and they're going to be on display out there in Milwaukee, my home state of Wisconsin, 9-1-9-2. It is the Buccos on the road against the Milwaukee Brewers, as the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, is on the bump for the Brewers, and Paul Skeens is going to be going for Pittsburgh. Right now, this total, it opened up at a 7. It is down to a 6.5, and with the Pittsburgh Pirates, in between minus 114 to minus 117 is that number for the Brewers. They're hovering right around about even money to plus 105, and I did take a shot on the under at 7. Now, at 6.5, it goes a little bit too low, because then you get into a 4-3 game. If both teams reach 3 runs, you lose your bet. And I think that going under 6.5, you have to really, really love it. And I mean, for Mizorowski, he has been very rock solid for the Brewers. Even taking a look at what he's been able to do over at the AAA Nashville Sounds before he came up to the big league level, he was getting 11.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. One of the better prospects in all of baseball. Walking quite a few guys, that's a bit of an issue, and we have seen 4 walks through his first 2 starts, actually 5 walks in his first 2 starts, but I mean, this guy, he's absolutely able to mow them down. Now, the trepidation that you have when you get down to a 6.5 is you just have funkiness, you have an air out there in the field, and let's call it what it is. The Pittsburgh Pirates are not necessarily crossing their T's and dotting their I's. This is a sloppy team, and the reason why you have such a low total, as well as the fact that this Pirates team out of 30 teams in Major League Baseball right now. They are 30th in terms of runs per game. You've got three guys on the roster with north of four home runs this year. Just absolutely terrible. And, I mean, they just don't have guys that are even move line either. Like Alex Canario, Jared Trollo, even throwing their O'Neill Cruz, Tommy Pham. You've got a lot of guys that aren't hitting for power aside from Cruz. He's right now leading the team in home runs that have been hitting a 220 or lower. That's just not going to cut it. Spencer Horowitz hasn't been able to give you a whole heck of a lot either. And for the Brewers, I do think that their home and road splits are going to start to iron out. Perhaps we saw a little bit of a sign that here on Tuesday. And for the Milwaukee Brewers, by the way, they have now scored at least eight runs in five out of their last six games. Many of those have come on the road. Coming into tonight, 3.6 runs per game at home compared to 5.6 away from home, but they do the little things. And by that, I mean you've got a quartet of guys, Sal Frelick, Jackson Chourio, Christian Yelich, along with as well, I'm thinking of Bryce Turang. They're all able to give you at least 12 stolen bases this season. You've been able to get good power out of Christian Yelich recently, and now he's hitting above 250. Like, that was the big reason why the Brewers' offense was scuffling. It comes and goes with Christian Yelich. When Yelich is hitting, Brewers are playing good. When Christian Yelich isn't hitting, well, it's not so good for the Milwaukee Brewers, to say the least. So that's something that I do gauge, and he's been able to do a nice job, even if it's not necessarily with a home run ball, of just finding a way to move the line, give you a double, give you a walk. So that's been big. And for this Pirates bullpen, what I will say is that they've been much better recently. The likes of David Benar have been able to give you a sub-3 ERA. You've been able to get good production of Dennis Santana, Caleb Ferguson, the former LA Dodgers, and does feel like this Brewers bullpen has been able to come along for the ride. They were relying upon, towards the beginning part of the season, Yopayam, Elvis Piguero. Those guys were just absolute disappointments. So they've looked a little bit more to the likes of Nick Mears, Trevor McGill. Ebner Uribe has been really good in this bullpen as well. But again, I want to see it a little bit more from Mizorowski. And it's just such a conflicting spot for Paul Skeens. Because with Paul Skeens, he's giving you a sub-2 ERA. He's as good as it gets. Like, this guy is a front runner to be able to win NL Cy Young, and it is for all the right reasons. But the thing that keeps you off of betting Paul Skeens in this spot is everyone not named Paul Skeens. And that's a big reason why I just took a shot on whoever was going to be the underdog. The Brewers have turned out to be that underdog. I'm going to be willing to take a shot there. I pretty much set my line as a pick 'em with regards to my handicap. So I'm going to be looking there. And again, with 6.5, you just get down a little bit too low for me to be taking a shot on the under. So do like that over. And I do like the money line of the Milwaukee Brewers, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And we cut through that. And what we like to be looking at is XCutta as well, because it is an exciting way to bet. It's all new. It's the first of its kind. That's XCUTTA.com. It is a future of futures wagering. It combines all the adrenaline of a live auction with the strategy of sports betting or fantasy picks. It's easy to use and is working for every sport across 1,000 players, teams, golfers, drivers. XCutta is an adaptable website/app that you can utilize for any sport, even horse racing, and it's free to sign up. You pick who you want to bid on, customize your own auction, set your own winnings, and invite players to play. You can even create auctions for free. XCutta has free auctions every day from 3, 6, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Send an email to support@xcutta.com and mention VSiN, and they'll give you a 3-month player promo code to get started. XCutta is a sports Calcutta. Again, XCUTTA.com. As it is myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And that pitching matchup between the Brewers and the Pittsburgh Pirates is going to be fun and exciting. How about if we give you guys the opposite? How about if we give you a pitching matchup that is not going to be so great, and we take a look at the other side of things? 919, 920. Really low total here between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Cleveland Guardians. Now, Max Scherzer is a legend. He goes for the Blue Jays and Gavin Williams. He's on the bump for the Cleveland Guardians. Total is 8. Relative pick'em game on both sides, and I just can't get there right now with the Toronto Blue Jays. Max Scherzer has thrown 3 more innings on a big league mound this year than myself. And if you look at the minor league rehab starts that he had, he went 8-plus innings. He gave up 2 runs. Didn't look too bad there. The swing and miss stuff, it was back, but I mean, two rehab starts, even if he gives you a good start, he's not going to be able to lend a lot of length. This has been a Blue Jays bullpen that recently has been a little bit touch and go as well. The likes of Mason Fluharty, Chad Green, having to be able to give you a ton. And for the Blue Jays, this has been a very off-putting offense on the road. They are averaging just 3.6 runs per game away from home. Now, that was going into the night on Tuesday. Tuesday, they had a little bit of an outburst, so they might be up to 3.7 runs per game. That's still a bottom six mark in the big leagues. Just have not been able to crank out the deep ball. You don't have anyone on the roster that is north of 12 home runs this season. For Cleveland, it is a little bit of a top-heavy, shall we say, lineup themselves with Stephen Kwan, Jose Ramirez doing a solid job, but it does feel like the Guardians bullpen, that was number one in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA last year, coming back into form. Gavin Williams has been bend but don't break. I do like the Guardians here on the money line, and I do like that total over. And coming up next, how about if we recap what was a wild day in the NBA on Tuesday on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.